In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We come now to the second Sunday of Advent, the special period of season of the year, and I guess it's a question I want to ask both for myself and for everyone here. How have you spent Advent so far? What has Advent meant for you in this particular way? Is it just a time to see the priest dressed in purple? Is it something that we have just in some devotional things that we look ahead to Christmas? How much have you taken the time to really reflect upon what Advent is? I'm mentioning all that because there are customs for this season of the church year that the world outside is going to suck away from us, that we won't follow. Advent won't be the great time of a spiritual life for us if we don't make the effort to do that. If we get caught up and wrapped up in the commercialism, the Christmas spirit, the hymns, the things of that particular nature, and forget all about what this season of the church year is all about. Liturgists, the people who write about the liturgy in the church, tell us that the Advent season, the special grace of this season of the year, is to help us to rebuild and restore our spiritual lives. Our personal sins, our faults and failings, can do damage to our interior life, our spiritual life, and probably damage in a way that we don't really have enough knowledge of it. We may go to confession, but if we don't have enough sorrow for sin and amendment of life, we do more damage to our interior life, our spiritual life. And so the Advent season brings with it a grace for us to help to repair that. That in this less than 4-week period of time, graces are given if we observe the Advent season in the spirit in which it is there. It's supposed to be a prayerful spirit, some period of a bit of like mortification because it is still in purple, but still a joyful spirit. It's not like Lent. So it doesn't have the fasting and abstinence except on certain days. But it doesn't have that like we do during Lent. But still, we're here to pray, to grow in our spiritual life, respect for spiritual reading, penitential practices, practices of mortification, a death to self that we all need to accomplish more and more. If we follow that spirit day by day during the Advent season, then the graces of this season will be ours. And our spiritual life, like I said, it gets damaged along the way. By our sins, by our faults, by our failings, by our failing to pray as we should, not focusing on our spiritual life in every way that we should in every particular point. There's a damage that comes, greater or less, according to how we live and act. Knowing that these are the particular things here, and knowing that we are, our interior life, our spiritual life, is so important for us. It keeps us on that pathway toward God. It increases within us sanctifying grace. It helps us to live as the children of God that we should. Taking seriously this whole point about the spiritual life, being thankful that this season has the graces there for all of us to rebuild, to grow, to renew this spiritual life is important. But again, we all get sucked in if we're not careful with the things in the world around us. And if we don't live up to this particular spirit, then we won't repair that damage to our interior lives. And this period of time for special graces for all of us will be lost. And that's a sad thing. We'll let the world creep in upon us. We start to wonder why it is that we have greater temptations and I can't pray as well and things like that. The grace is here right now to rebuild, to restore, to recover in every particular way. I'm not going to say we automatically become saints, never have temptations anymore, can pray as if we're floating around in the sky and things like that. It's not the case. But what we do accomplish during this period is to be able to have a taste, if you will, a desire, if you will, to be spiritual, to be holy, to not follow the world. I think of the greatest time, given the commercialism and things of that of the world at this time, the holiday season, as they call it. I remember in the hospital speaking with somebody there. They were, complaining a bit, or I heard them, people talking in the hallway, complaining about, the holiday season seems to have started earlier this year than it did in times past, to the point that when Christmas comes, they're sick of it. They're glad it's all over, when that's when it's supposed to begin. Christmas begins at Christmas, not on Thanksgiving, not 3 weeks before. But it begins then, but not according to the world, not according to all those spiritual things. And the more that we follow what the world follows, Christmas will come, we'll put out our gifts, have a tree, sing a few hymns, and come for Mass. And that's it. And we look forward to the day when we can take down the tree we put up early. We look forward to the time we can take it down and not understand the church's Christmas season. To spend the time of what the true 12 days of Christmas and Lent are all about. We won't come to that understanding, that love for Christmas, unless we spend Advent well. If we spend it like the world does, like I said, we're going to run the risk of what this person was saying, truly. I mean, they were serious when they said it. I can't wait for Christmas to come. I'm tired of it. All it is just some time of a holiday and singing and things like that, parties and whatever else that goes on. That's not how it is for us. It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. I know the world out there, they're going to look at us and listen to us, you know, if we, you know, this very, saying these particular points, that's not how we should do it. We're going to say we're taking something weird. If we decline to go to a Christmas party, if we stay in our homes, we foster that spirit of prayer, do extra spiritual reading, practices of mortification, put off any of these things about Christmas and holidays and all that stuff later on, but spend it in an Advent practice. If we do that, the people around us who don't consider Advent for what it is will think we're weird. But so what? So what if they think we're weird? They're according to the world, not going into things of God. And many things that you and I are supposed to live as Catholics in our age is to be, in a sense, counterculture. The culture is worldly. The culture is away from God. The culture is filled with immorality. The culture is filled with materialism. None of that is part of our Catholic life. And Advent is the one time for you and for me to be able to live that and be serious about it. But if we don't take it seriously like that, then all we're doing is reinforcing that worldly spirit within us. And again, if we find it difficult to pray, that we battle with temptations, it's our own fault. Because we've lost the special graces of this season to grow in the appreciation of the spiritual life and the things of God, the things that grow within us. One of the interesting things about the Advent season to help us to grow in our spiritual life are certain customs that take place during the Advent season. We've always, for the past number of years, we put out this little green booklet in the back of the church. This booklet has a wonderful explanation about what Advent is and the spirit of Advent. And I dare think that most people aren't, they probably haven't reviewed it. I know they put out a number of these books while I was in the hospital, put them in the back of the church. And when I, you know, came into the church and recognized there's still a big pile of those green books in the back of the church, nobody's taking them. This is a great aid. Things that are in here are a great aid toward our Advent practices, and then also leading into Christmas practices. Not huge things that need to be done, but small spiritual practices for us to accomplish during the Advent season that keep our mind focused on Advent. Not the things of the world, but on Advent. And jealously guarding this particular point. It was in the 1960s that there was a great movement taking place, and the spirit of the world wasn't as strong as it is right now. But there's a great movement that was taking place among Catholics to restore Advent for what it was. To keep Advent strong. And to keep people, Catholics, focusing on the spirit of Advent. Well, then Vatican II came in and people just went worldly right along with it. But we say that we are practicing the traditions of the church. We've got to zealously guard this Advent spirit against the world and commercialism out there. Not let that creep into our souls. One practice that we have is that Advent prayer. Hail and blessed be the hour and the moment. I know it was an insert in the Sunday bulletin, you know, for you a little while ago. And in there, it gave you the prayer to pray, and then also to pray it 15 times a day. And then there's indulgences attached to that. And to do it every day during the season of Advent, right up until Christmas. Just that one practice alone, praying 15 times a day, that short prayer, is what's going to help keep the mind focused. This is Advent. Hail and blessed be the hour that was there. In that hour that I'm looking forward to, hear my prayer, grant my desire. This is what we pray at, not with this particular point. But it's that 15 times a day, it helps. It builds up that habit of thinking, this is Advent. So whenever the world does and the things of the world, I'm not going to get involved. I want to make sure I keep Advent as I should. Also in the practice which we have here in the church of the Advent wreath. I don't know how many of you have them in your homes, and I'm sorry if you don't. The Advent wreath is something that is there that is lit as a family together at prayers. It's most of the time it's like done around dinner time when everyone's gathered together. The prayers are in here to be recited, the father, the family, and whoever might be there. And then you light two of the candles this week, because it's the second week of Advent, so two purple candles. The Advent wreath is in a circle made with the evergreen. The circle is a symbol of eternity with God. Never, no beginning, no end. The evergreen also, because of the nature of that particular plant, is that it's evergreen. So it thinks of the eternity with God. And so the Advent wreath is there not just to light some candles and mumble some prayers and then have a piece of decoration on the table, but it's there as a visible symbol in our homes, not just in church, but in our homes. It's Advent. So that as we pass by that, wherever we have the Advent wreath in our homes, as we pass by that each day, we don't get just used to it being there. We think, it's Advent. And today we'll be praying these prayers as part of our preparation for Christmas by focusing on this particular point. This little booklet has other customs, an Advent calendar, sacrificial straw. You think it's only for children, everybody could practice it. If you take, some straw that's there, and every time you make a sacrifice, some point of penance that takes place during the Advent season, and you take that and put it into the little thing that there, and that will be the straw that you put in your manger scene at Christmas time. And more or less of that straw is going to show how much you love the baby Jesus and have sacrificed in preparation for his coming. But again, it keeps the mind and heart focused on the fact. This is Advent. So this is why I go back to the particular point here of asking, what have we done? Where are we? What has this first week of Advent meant to us so far? If it hasn't been to focus on Advent, I pray that this will be here to encourage you to make Advent what it should be. We don't have a full four weeks of Advent. It's a shorter period this year. So that means we've got to spend this time well. This time I've had in the hospital and things of that particular nature, recovering, has been a time I've been using as a retreat to review a number of things, to take the time and respond, to look at my duties and responsibilities and things of that nature. Much like I did a couple of months ago when we talked about the mass camp, and things of that nature, why we couldn't have it on at that particular point, simply because of what the church had taught. I just took the time, the opportunity to review a number of things of what the church had said and just to take a look at it and see if there's some things that I've forgotten, maybe had passed over, whatever, things of that nature that need to be looked at in every particular way, both in personal life and in life here at church and something of that particular nature, and to come back into this point, to be able to say Advent is where it is to rebuild, restore, renew. And in things that may have been missing or need to be kind of fixed, if you will, then that spirit of what we did with the mask, I want to do that. One area I was looking at as in reviewing one of the particular points in one of the liturgical books and things of that nature regards the keys that are used for the church. I know for a number of years I let people have keys in order so they can come and make visits. And one thing I was impressed in reviewing the office of porter that I have in preparing for the priesthood, and at porter I'm given the key to the church, responsibility for the church building and the protection of the Blessed Sacrament. One of the things that was impressed upon me in all that reading and reflecting on it is I can't have that anymore, having keys out there. The main responsibility for the key rests with me. I'm the priest, I'm the porter. It's my responsibility for God to take care for the Blessed Sacrament, to guard it. and to make sure. It's not like, I'm not saying I don't trust anyone. However, when I read what the law says and things like that, we did it for a nice reason, a pious reason, like we did with the mass camp. But the church says, and like I did with the mass camp, I kept insisting, the church says we can't have it on all the time. So it is with the keys. That the keys at that particular point there, and because there's keys out there and there's some that seem to have been floated around and some extra people have made copies that I haven't made, we'll be changing the lock on the front door of the church there and keeping the key. If you need to get into the church for any reason, then come find me. I'll be here from here with that particular point. And I would say, Father, really would like to come make visits and do these type of things and whatever. That's wonderful and fine to do, but however, I can't get past the responsibility I have in the church to be the sole possessor of that key to make sure the Blessed Sacrament is guarded. And so, soon we'll be doing that particular point. And again, it's not like I mistrust anyone who has keys right now. It's just please understand that in reviewing what it is the church requires of me, I'm just sorry I hadn't done this earlier and things of that particular nature. But as you know, if I've done some things that are wrong, I try to apologize for it in practice and make in public rather and make that correction right away. And so that's what we'll be doing here because it is so important. The guardianship of the Blessed Sacrament is important. And if keys float out there, if you let other people use their keys and copies get made, I don't know. I don't have full guard over the church and the Blessed Sacrament that way. Again, it's not like I mistrust anybody or things of that nature. It's just I don't have the full guard as the church says I should. And so that's why something has come up. But this is one of those time in Advent, taking time to reflect upon things, responsibilities that we have, work, home, school. How well do you live up to your responsibilities that are there? This is a time perfectly to review those things, to take some time in quiet at home and just take the time and say, okay, this is what my work responsibilities are. This is what I have at home. This is what I have toward children toward parents. This is what my school is supposed to be doing. I may have failed in these particular points. I'm going to do this better. This is what Advent is all about, is to help us to grow, to make the changes that we need, to review these things. And in that way, recapture the points of our interior life and spiritual life that may be suffering at some particular point. Prayer life, spiritual reading, studies about the things of the church. Even now, those who are attending my class for CCD on the catechism, and right now until my foot and all that is better, we won't be able to have the catechism classes, then do that on your own. Take the time as a family, individually, to study more about your faith. Don't just say, well, I don't know. I'm sure you've got the books. I'm sure you have the things that are available there to you, both by prayer, by reflection, by meditation. You'll be able to grow in that knowledge and love for the things of God, and especially the things of the church. What we want to do during this season is grow in our interior life, but part of that will be in developing a love for the church and what the church desires, and making that desire our own. This is her season, if you will. The season that we have to grow specially in grace to prepare for it. And then let's use this season well. Like I said, it's only a short time, this time for Advent. It's not like God doesn't give the graces the rest of the year for us to repair, to restore, to renew our interior lives. That grace is always there. However, there's a more abundant grace that happens during Advent. And if we know anything about our interior lives, if we know anything about bad habits we may have acquired, and I'm not necessarily talking about bad sinful habits, I'm talking about even bad habits of not concentrating in prayer, of not doing spiritual reading, of keeping our mind just so thinking I've got to have always noise, games, and things of that thing going on in my life. Focusing only upon things, whatever, noise and things of that particular nature, instead of letting God grow in my life. There's a special time now for Advent to change those things, to be stronger in every way. But it's a short period of time for Advent right now. It's a shorter time. Let's not lose the opportunity to grow in this grace. I strongly encourage you, as we leave today, take Advent seriously. Don't just, walk away. We've had a Mass in purple today. Father's given a sermon, a second Sunday of Advent. And then either by later on tonight or tomorrow or Tuesday, we don't think about it. We get so wrapped up in the things of the world around us, we don't think about Advent again until the next Sunday. Don't let that happen. Don't let the world steal it from you in all these graces. Pray to our Blessed Mother, especially we have her Feast of the Immaculate Conception tomorrow, and other feasts of hers that occur during this season of Advent. The prayerful spirit of Mary, as you can imagine, before Christ was born, is the prayerful spirit that we want to imitate. If we turn to Mary, she can help us to grow and to spend Advent well. We reflect upon St. John the Baptist, too, during this time. Well, he's the one who shows that strength, that zeal for the things of God in preparing for the Messiah. If our zeal has weakened in any way, let's pray that it can grow and become strong in a good, strong habit during Advent that we can keep during the rest of our lives. Let's pray faithfully during Advent. Let's keep these customs alive. Like I said, if we have to separate ourselves from the things of the world and all that, then so be it. We're here to live for God and His church, not for the world. Let that be everything that we do and accomplish, and we'll see how much more, day by day, as Advent continues on, we will find that rebuilding, we will find that restoring. Our prayer life will be stronger. Our interior peace will be something that we won't have as we've ever had before, because Advent brings it to us. This is the secret to all of that, if we only spend Advent well. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.